Chapter 13. Now, come, I must mount again, or we shall not be home by dinner time. And they returned to where Pansy stood tethered. Instead of entrusting my weight to a young man's unstable palm, she continued gaily, I prefer a sure pinstock, as the villagers call it, in the form of a gate. There now I am myself again. They proceeded homeward at the same walking pace. Her blitheness won Stephen out of his thoughtfulness, and each forgot everything but the tone of the moment. What did you love me for? She said, after a long musing look at a flying bird. I don't know, he replied idly. Oh yes, you do, insisted Elfride. Perhaps, for your eyes. What of them? Now, don't vex me by a light answer. What of my eyes? Oh, nothing to be mentioned. They are indifferently good. Come, Stephen, I won't have that. What did you love me for? It might have been for your mouth? Well, what about my mouth? I thought it was a passable mouth enough. That's not very comforting. With a pretty pout and sweet lips. But actually, nothing more than what everybody has. Don't make up things out of your head as you go on, there's a dear Stephen. Now what did you love me for? Perhaps, 'twas for your neck and hair, though I am not sure. Or for your idle blood, that did nothing but wander away from your cheeks and back again, but I am not sure. Or your hands and arms, that they eclipsed all other hands and arms. Or your feet, that they played about under your dress like little mice. Or your tongue, that it was of a dear delicate tone. But I am not altogether sure. That's pretty to say. But I don't care for your love, if it made a mere flat picture of me in that way, and not being sure, and such cold reasoning. But what you felt I was, you know, Stephen, at this a stealthy laugh and frisky look into his face, when you said to yourself, I'll certainly love that young lady. I never said it. When you said to yourself, then, I never will love that young lady. I didn't say that either. Then was it, I suppose I must love that young lady? No. What, then? Twas much more fluctuating, not so definite. Tell me, do. It was that I ought not to think about you, if I loved you truly. That I don't understand. There's no getting it out of you. And I'll not ask you ever any more, never more to say out of the deep reality of your heart, what you loved me for. Sweet tantalizer, what's the use? It comes to this sole simple thing, that at one time I had never seen you, and I didn't love you, that then I saw you, and I did love you. Is that enough? Yes, I will make it do. I know, I think, what I love you for. You are nice looking, of course, but I didn't mean for that. It is because you are so docile and gentle. Those are not quite the correct qualities for a man to be loved for, said Stephen, in rather a dissatisfied tone of self-criticism. Well, never mind. I must ask your father to allow us to be engaged directly we get indoors. It will be for a long time. I like it the better. Stephen, don't mention it till tomorrow. Why? Because, if he should object I don't think he will, but if he should we shall have a day longer of happiness from our ignorance. Well, what are you thinking of so deeply? I was thinking how my dear friend Knight would enjoy this scene. I wish he could come here. You seem very much engrossed with him, she answered, with a jealous little toss. He must be an interesting man to take up so much of your attention. Apostrophe, apostrophe, interesting. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Stephen, his face glowing with his fervor. Noble, you ought to say. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh yes, yes, I forgot, apostrophe, she said half satirically. The noblest man in England, as you told us last night. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he is a fine fellow, laugh as you will, Miss Elfie. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I know he is your hero. But what does he do? Anything? Apostrophe, he writes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what does he write? I have never heard of his name. Apostrophe, because his personality, and that of several others like him, is absorbed into a huge we, namely, the impalpable entity called the present-day social and literary review. Apostrophe, apostrophe, is he only a reviewer? Apostrophe, apostrophe, only, Elfie. Why, I can tell you it is a fine thing, to be on the staff of the present. Finer than being a novelist considerably. Apostrophe, that's a hit at me, and my poor court of Kellyanne Castle. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, Elfried, apostrophe, he whispered. I didn't mean that. I mean that he is really a literary man of some eminence, and not altogether a reviewer. He writes things of a higher class than reviews, though he reviews a book occasionally. His ordinary productions are social and ethical essays, all that the present contains which is not literary reviewing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I admit he must be talented, if he writes for the present. We have it sent to us irregularly. I want Papa to be a subscriber, but he's so conservative. Now the next point in this Mr. Knight, I suppose he is a very good man. Apostrophe, apostrophe, an excellent man. I shall try to be his intimate friend someday. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but aren't you now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, not so much as that, apostrophe, replied Stephen, as if such a supposition were extravagant. You see, it was in this way he came originally from the same place as I, and taught me things, but I am not intimate with him. Shan't I be glad, when I get richer and better known, and hob and nob with him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Stephen's eyes sparkled. A pout began to shape itself upon Elfright's soft lips. You think always of him, and like him better than you do me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, indeed, Elfright. The feeling is different, quite. But I do like him, and he deserves even more affection from me than I give. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you are not nice now, and you make me as jealous as possible. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she exclaimed perversely. I know you will never speak to any third person of me so warmly as you do to me of him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but you don't understand, Elfride, apostrophe, he said with an anxious movement. You shall know him someday. He is so brilliant, no, it isn't exactly brilliant. So thoughtful, nor does thoughtful express him, that it would charm you to talk to him. He's a most desirable friend, and that isn't half I could say. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't care how good he is. I don't want to know him, because he comes between me and you. You think of him night and day, ever so much more than of anybody else, and when you are thinking of him, I am shut out of your mind. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, dear Elfride, I love you dearly. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and I don't like you to tell me so warmly about him, when you are in the middle of loving me. Stephen, suppose that I and this man knight of yours were both drowning, and you could only save one of us, apostrophe, yes, the stupid old proposition, which would I save? Well, which? Not me. Apostrophe, both of you, apostrophe, he said, pressing her pendant hand. No, that won't do, only one of us. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I cannot say, I don't know. It is disagreeable, quite a horrid idea to have to handle. Apostrophe, apostrophe, aha, I know. You would save him, and let me drown, 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 and I don't care about your love. Apostrophe, apostrophe, as he had endeavored to give a playful tone to her words, but the latter speech was rather forced in its gaiety. At this point in the discussion, she trotted off to turn a corner which was avoided by the footpath, the road and the path reuniting at a point a little further on. On again making her appearance, she continually managed to look in a direction away from him, and left him in the cool shade of her displeasure. Stephen was soon beaten at this game of indifference. He went round, and entered the range of her vision. "Are you offended, Elfie? Why don't you talk? Apostrophe, save me, then, and let that Mr. Clever of yours drown. I hate him. Now, which would you? Apostrophe, really, Elfride, you should not press such a hard question. It is ridiculous. Apostrophe, apostrophe, then I won't be alone with you anymore. Unkind, to wound me so. Apostrophe, apostrophe," she laughed at her own absurdity but persisted. "Come, Elfie, let's make it up and be friends. Apostrophe, apostrophe, say you would save me, then, and let him drown. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I would save you and him too. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and let him drown. Come, or you don't love me." Apostrophe, she teasingly went on. "And let him drown," apostrophe, he ejaculated despairingly. "There, now I am yours." Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said, and a woman's flush of triumph lit her eyes. "Only one earring, miss, as I'm alive," apostrophe said Unity on their entering the hall. With a face expressive of wretched misgiving, Elfright's hand flew like an arrow to her ear. "There, apostrophe, apostrophe," she exclaimed to Stephen, looking at him with eyes full of reproach. "I quite forgot, indeed. If I had only remembered." "Apostrophe," he answered, with a conscience-stricken face. She wheeled herself round, and turned into the shrubbery. Stephen followed. "If you had told me to watch anything, Stephen, I should have religiously done it," apostrophe, she capriciously went on, as soon as she heard him behind her. "Forgetting is forgivable. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, you will find it, if you want me to respect you, and be engaged to you, when we have asked Papa." Apostrophe, apostrophe, she considered a moment, and added more seriously, "I know now where I dropped it, Stephen. It was on the cliff. I remember a faint sensation of some change about me, but I was too absent to think of it then. And that's where it is now, and you must go and look there. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I'll go at once." Apostrophe, apostrophe, and he strode away up the valley, under a broiling sun, and amid the death-like silence of early afternoon. He ascended, with giddy paced haste, the windy range of rocks to where they had sat, felt and peered about the stones and crannies, but Elfright's stray jewel was nowhere to be seen. Next, Stephen slowly retraced his steps, and, pausing at a crossroad to reflect a while, he left the plateau and struck downwards across some fields, in the direction of Endelstow House. He walked along the path by the river without the slightest hesitation, as to its bearing, apparently quite familiar with every inch of the ground. As the shadows began to lengthen, and the sunlight to mellow, he passed through two wicket gates, and drew near the outskirts of Endelstow Park. The river now ran along under the park fence, previous to entering the grove itself, a little further on. Here stood a cottage, between the fence and the stream, on a slightly elevated spot of ground, round which the river took a turn. The characteristic feature of this snug habitation was its one chimney in the gable end, its squareness of form disguised by a huge cloak of ivy, which had grown so luxuriantly, and extended so far from its base, as to increase the apparent bulk of the chimney to the dimensions of a tower. Some little distance from the back of the house rose the park boundary, and over this were to be seen the sycamores of the grove, making slow inclinations to the just awakening air. Stephen crossed the little wood bridge in front, went up to the cottage door, and opened it without knock or signal of any kind. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.